found on page 452 in the Pew Bibles. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth, keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil.
Let us pray. Our most precious Heavenly Father, as we turn our attention to your word, let us quiet our spirits, and we invite the Holy Spirit to move in us and through us that you may continue to work and carve out the stuff in our lives that you would be pleased to carve out. Draw us close to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you that were here last week, you will notice that the scripture has remained the same. We are taking another look at the fourth chapter of Proverbs. Last week, we talked about how important it is to guard our hearts. We discussed the importance of staying aggressive when guarding our hearts, that we are at war when it comes to guarding our hearts, that the world is busy infiltrating us, and so we must stay vigilant. So this week, I ran across something interesting I did not know, maybe you know, and that is something about the Hudson River. To this day, it remains one of the most polluted rivers in the entire United States. Why? Because up until 1986, there were 150 gallons of raw sewage and waste pumped into the north end, which would then flow into the southern end, into the New York Harbor. And in spite of cleanup efforts, it's still one of the most toxic places in the United States. You can't go swimming there. I guess you can, if you want to come out with like a third eye or something. You can't eat the fish. Now, why is that? Because the source itself was spoiled. The source itself was spoiled for all of those years. And no matter how much cleanup, it's still extremely toxic. Now, as we look at our scripture, I think this gives us a good leeway into what this father is advising his son. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. You'll notice in verse 24, he starts off and says, put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious lips far from you. Keep your eyes directly in front of you. Let your gaze be fixed, and watch over the path of your feet, and all of your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left, and keep your feet from evil. We were talking earlier today in Sunday school, and one of the questions that came up was, what's one thing you want to try and teach or instill into your children? One piece of advice, and this came to my mind. We want to watch over our hearts. You want to teach your child to watch over their hearts, the things that they put into their lives. But here, the father gives a little more detail. He says you need to put away from you or take steps away from. It's almost like he's saying, be mindful of the people you surround yourself with, or the things you watch on television, or the music you listen to, because they'll have influence over your life. That's what it means to guard your heart. And really, it's the same with watching over your physical heart, isn't it? Last week, we joked about how much weight Americans put on during the holidays. And we talked about how when you're caring for your heart, there are things you need to eliminate from your diet. You want to stay away from certain foods. You also want to bring in the good stuff. You want to eat fruits and vegetables, but you also want to stay away from cakes and desserts, which are all so tempting because that they taste so good. And part of guarding your heart is having wisdom to know what to guard your heart from. Now, the author of Hebrews says this, "Therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily entangles us, so that you may run with endurance." See, there's a couple interesting words here. The first is sin, he tells us to get rid of. I don't think any of us need an explanation of what that means. We know what sin is. It's black and white. It's right and wrong. We're used to this kind of stuff. But he adds this other word in there. The word is weight. He doesn't just say get rid of the sin. He says get rid of the weight when you're running the race. Get rid of the weights. What does that mean? That means we need to pay attention to the things that are right and wrong, and we need to pay attention to the things that are almost right and wrong. See, there's the stuff in the middle, and it's a lot harder for us to determine, should I or shouldn't I? It's the ball and chain around our ankle as we're running. And that's exactly what the author of Hebrews is teaching us. As we're running the faith, we need to remove the sin from our lives, but also the ball and chain from our lives, the weight that carries us down. So examine your own life. Where are the things in your own life that you need to take steps away from? Where's the sin in your life that you need to think about cutting out from your life? This is one big way of guarding our heart. This is why the Father here is so big into keeping your eyes fixed straight ahead of you, not veering to the left or to the right, things that will pull you away from your goal. So you must guard your heart, not just from the bad stuff. You must guard your heart from the stuff that's almost bad. And that's where it gets tricky, and that's where it gets difficult. Now, if you do not guard your heart, something sad will happen. And that is you will develop what the Bible calls a hard heart. A hard heart. This is where you are at a place where you do not care. It's almost like a calloused heart. How many of you like oranges? Raise your hand. Yeah? Oranges are a pretty good fruit. And you take out the orange, and you have to do something before you get to the good stuff. And you have to take that outside, and you have to peel it back. That skin protects the orange. That skin protects the flesh. But when the Bible speaks of a hard heart, that's exactly what happens to us. When we do not guard our hearts, when we continue to walk in sin, our hearts actually become calloused. They become hard. And that's what the Bible speaks of so often. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through liars whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron. So we are called to examine ourselves continually. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 says, examine yourself, look at yourself. And that's part of guarding our hearts so that we do not develop a hard heart. We must take steps and examine our own lives, because it's easy, as the Proverbs teach us, to go off the path to the right and to the left. So there are times when we must stop and pause and reflect on our own faith. We have to ask ourselves, am I following the Lord? Am I walking the straight and narrow path as Jesus taught us? Or am I veering to the right or veering to the left? Now, Dave just showed us a beautiful example in front for the children's sermon. And it was humorous. But I'm here to tell you that that's real. There are voices all around us beckoning us, sirens beckoning us, calling us, getting us to leave the path. That's why you and I must be determined to walk forward after the Lord. He must be our goal. So if you develop a hard heart, oftentimes you will fall victim to the evil one. You see, the evil one loves to pull you from the path. In Genesis chapter 3, an account that we're all very familiar with, we learn of the temptation of Adam and Eve. Now, I just want to read how the Bible describes the serpent. The Bible says that the serpent was the most cunning of all of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden?" Now notice the word cunning is used to describe the serpent. A few other Bible translations use the word subtle or crafty. The serpent and the evil one here, is described as cunning, crafty, and subtle. You know, when it's time for the kids to give out candy and run around, when it's Halloween, when you see the doorbell ring, a lot of times you see the devil in a pitchfork, dressed in red, and you give them a little Twix bar or Snickers bar, and they run on their way. But the Bible says that the devil appears as an angel of light. He's crafty, he's subtle, and he's cunning. And just like an angler knows how to tempt you, just as an angler knows how to put the exact right bait on the hook, so does the devil know with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 says this, "If there was anything I forgive in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware or outsmarted by his schemes." Again, Paul picks up on this. He knows the evil one, and he says, "We are not unaware or outsmarted by his schemes." See, he knows that the devil is a schemer. He's playing chess, and he's out moves in front of you. And you have to pay attention and know his schemes, because he's been doing that from the beginning with Adam and Eve. So if you're not careful to guard your heart, you will develop a hard heart. You will develop a callous over your heart, and it'll become harder and harder to follow after the Lord. And part of that hard heart is not listening to the words of God, but being taken captive by the evil one. And this lifestyle will not allow you to live out your highest priority. Now, as Christians, our highest priority would be to serve God, to put God first. And in the New Testament, we read of the wise men. In Matthew chapter 2, we read these words, "And having heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them, until it came and stood over where the Christ child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly and with great joy." See, these wise men, they were following something. They were following the star. The very first song we sung together was "O Holy Night." It says, "So led by light of a star, sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger." There they followed the star, and they followed true north. Now, how did they find Jesus? How did they find the baby in the manger? They followed the star. Now, we are in the season of Advent, friends. And my question for you all is, what are you following? Do you follow true north? Is your heart in tune with the Savior? Those wise men would have never arrived at the birth of Jesus if they were following the wrong star. You know, one of the things I learned this week was nuclear submarines. They are equipped with some of the most amazing technology this world has ever known. Ever. And they can literally stay underwater for 90 days. But after 90 days, they have to come back up. See, they've been down for so long that they need to come back up and get properly realigned with the North Star. They've been down so long that they need to resurface. Now, to me, that's just a beautiful picture of our heart. Is it not? Is that not a beautiful picture of our hearts? Just like the submarine is filled with so much complexities, so are our hearts. So are our hearts. And sometimes we need to resurface and get in tune with true north. And what a better time than during Advent. Those wise men would have never found Jesus if they would not have followed the right star. And I'm here to tell you that you're not going to find Jesus unless you're guarding your heart and following true north. The Bible says that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith, that we are to fix our eyes on Him. That's our true north. And it's too easy to veer off to the right and to the left in our faith. Because once we start down those paths, it becomes easier and easier to continue down those paths and return to our true destination. So as we conclude our service this morning, we're going to sing We Three Kings. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 5. So let's pray. And as we sing that song, I want us to think about where we stand in Advent. Let's each of us examine our hearts. If we find ourselves steering off the wrong direction, then I want us to make this time right with God. Make this song not only a beautiful hymn to sing, but make it a prayer of your own hearts. Amen.